We're going to talk a good bit about servant leadership this week in these mornings, where Jim kicked us off yesterday, and seems to be what the Spirit is stirring in us. I'd like to call this series of talks, The Servant of All, and entitled this little maiden flight talk, God's Got You Covered. Every time I hear the Genesis narrative of the fall, I mean, it's a horrific thing to listen to. There's so much pain and so much sorrow and so much horror in it. But I find even there, back at the headwaters of the whole story, we find God revealing himself as a servant leader. We talk a lot about servant leadership in the IWS, servant leadership in Christian worship renewal. And Jesus said it in Mark 9:35, "The one who wants to be first must become both the last of all and the servant of all." And then he modeled it for us. He paved the way. He blazed a trail. And he illustrated by his own life how it should be done. It fascinates me and gives me great hope in this narrative about curse. In the midst of the curse, the pain in childbearing, and the difficulty in tilling the earth, that there's also so much hope and so much blessing. I've only been in a delivery room twice when Janet gave birth to our two daughters. It was as horrific as anything I've ever seen. The pain that she went through, and I wanted to do something to help, and there was nothing that could be done in the horror. But it's so amazing how the horror, the pain, the difficulty melts away to incredible joy so quickly. Whatever your field of work, if you're a pastor, if you're a pastoral musician, if you work in an office, if you work with your hands. My dad was a machinist at Shell Oil and Chemical. I worked in the music business. Different ones of us do different things. We teach in classrooms. But whatever you do, you know the reality of this, that the soil that you've been given to till, by its very nature, yields thistles and thorns instead of the fruit that you're trying to bring up. Do you experience that in your life? You try to do the tilling. You try to plant the seed, metaphorically, whatever that is in your context. You do everything you can do. And you sweat. You sweat, you bleed, you cry, and it's still full of thistles and thorns, even on the best day. And yet there is so much joy in the work. There's joy in toil. There's joy in labor, even in the middle of the pain and the difficulty. You know, you have to wonder, and there's been a lot of speculation, I didn't realize how much, about what these animals were whose skins covered the nakedness of our forebears. First of all, you might wonder, okay, how did the animals get slain? Well, most tend to believe that God actually did the slaying. From what I can read about the Eastern Orthodox thinking about this, it seems to be more metaphorical, that they were clothed with a kind of angelic light in the garden. And a lot of the icons show Adam in these priestly robes, you know, very resplendent in the garden. I can't imagine it really being like that. And they believe that what the skins were this angelic light giving away to human flesh, our skin, of our humanity being released somehow. That one was kind of hard for me to buy. It may be, but I don't know. Another theory is that it was snake skins. The skins of the serpents. That God clothed them in biker gear. I don't know about that either. But the theory that I like most is that it was the skin of a lamb. And if that's true, and I suspect that it may be, it really resonates. It calls to mind that concept of the scarlet thread that W.A. Criswell, I grew up Baptist, and so I heard a lot of Criswell when I was a kid, that he loved emphasizing the scarlet thread that began at the headwaters of Genesis, that sin could not be covered without the shedding of innocent blood. And it begins right here when some animal, Darla, thanks for starting us with lambs safely grazing with that fence around them last, starting us last night. I think it makes all the sense in the world that it starts with that lamb, and it proceeds further into Genesis with the cutting of the covenant that God did with Abraham. Animals slain again, fire. The Passover lamb, the blood put on the lintels of the door. That famous crimson cord, that scarlet thread that Rahab hung outside the window. Jesus, the Lamb of God, hanging, bleeding on a tree. And we discover in the revelation of John that that lamb was slain from the foundation of the world. It's his very nature. Slainness is who he is. To die, to atone, to die to accomplish the fullness of the Father's love, and to restore us and the entire created order. You see, even here in the beginning, in the middle of judgment, in preparation of banishment, God is behaving as a servant leader, seeing the nakedness, anticipating the needs, not just banishing them from the garden. The result had to happen of sin, but covering their nakedness. God had them covered since the very beginning. He anticipates our needs. He sees our nakedness even before we realize that it's there, that we're exposed. And he's making provision to cover it, to cover us with himself. It reminds me of the words in Isaiah 61, I will greatly rejoice in the Lord because he has covered me with the garments of salvation. They were covered with the garments of salvation from the very beginning. God telegraphing to us that Lamb of God who is slain from the foundation of the world. God has us covered. I shared a story with the faculty the other night in our opening dinner. I have a great little grandson, two of them, but one of them's name is Houston. He's the six-year-old. And Houston is all boy. I mean, the testosterone is already happening at 6 years old, but he's the most tender, loving kid. He surprised his daddy at one of their Christmas gatherings, I think at the in-laws, just walked up to his dad in the middle of the party and just threw his arms around him and hugged him really tight. And David, my son-in-law, said, he's 38, 39 years old, he said, Houston, thanks so much for that. I love you so much. He said, it means so much that you would just come up and hug me. And Houston said, Daddy, in my heart, I'm hugging you all the time. In my heart, I'm hugging you all the time. No matter what you have done or failed to do, no matter how naked you have got yourself, no matter how badly you've screwed up, no matter how many times you've fumbled, there is one who loves you so much that he's hugging you in his heart all the time. All the time. And he's got you covered.